Blog Talk Radio.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Scott Enstra Network. Scott Hensler on Scott Hensler Network. As you know, that Julie and I have another show that we do on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Tinfoil Hat Club. And she's been teaching in depth those things that have to do with the occult, the numerology, those signs, those symbols that they have been doing and part of their false flag to indicate to the world secretly those things right in front of us, that everything is a false flag, it's a psyop, and their intention is to bring down America and to enslave the world, period. That's their, you got to remember, these people are sick. These people are psychopaths. If you try and, you know, make sense of something that doesn't make sense, you can't. So we can't as normal people. You have to be sick and twisted to even become somewhat on that same level, which still doesn't make sense. None of it makes any sense because God is in control. God is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Creator. And He swears, tells us, commands that those who try to destroy the world, He will destroy. Now, As we're reminded, those in the occult, those of the Illuminati, Luciferianism, those of the Masonics, they believe that Satan got a raw deal, Satan should be the one in charge, and that he will become in charge, and they think that they're going to get a free pass. They think they're going to get out of this. So they're either incredibly ignorant, they're incredibly demon-possessed, under mind control, deception, and it's really the only way to look at it, because that's not going to happen. Now, there will be some time, you know, that may give the appearance that they've made headway, that they've had success, but that's, on the long run, it's not going to happen. And I've mentioned before that our life is but a flash in the pan compared to eternity. Now, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I'm going to go over some things tonight, a new heaven and a new earth, and it may be a little different than what you're thinking that I'm going to be talking about. You got to remember, I'm not conventional. I'm not mainstream. There was a time I was in the program church. I was in the matrix. I have broke loose. I have come out. I've come to the realization that those people who call themselves Christians, those who pretend to be Christians, those who call themselves pastors, and I've mentioned before that that whole, you know, pyramid, that whole corporate structure is nowhere in Scripture. But yet they'll teach you doctrines that keep you in bondage. They'll teach you things to make you believe that they should be the one teaching you. And I'm going to point out a few things and even confirm something that Julie was talking about the other night, where Obama is Satan. Now, we need to remember that in their state, they are spirits, whether they're demons or fallen angels, and they have the ability to manifest into the physical whenever there's enough sin and or the, you know, veils open and so forth. But when it comes to the human flesh, when it comes to a vessel that is not of Christ, then that can be inhabited by demons. And that can be animal, that can be bird, it can be fish, it can be reptile. Cats frequently have demons in them, and some of you have no trouble believing that. Now, I'm a cat lover, but I've certainly seen that. And I do not have a cat at the moment, but I do plan on getting one, hopefully. And when I do, I'm going to be anointing it and praying over it to make sure that the demons stay out of it, because as well as outer body to astral project, just as I've had things that have come into my office and rummaged through my stuff through astral projection, that once I came to the realization that that was taking place, it was not a good thing for them. You see, we need to understand who we are in Christ. And I've been, in fact, this week has been an incredible week for deliverance. This has been a very prosperous week for deliverance. And what I mean is that demons by the hundreds, if not thousands, have been sent to the pit. They have been exorcised out of God's people. And that includes both men and women. Now, there are those who take a little longer than others, but that has proven to have victory this week. We're to steadfast forward. We're to run the good race. We're to continue those things. And the fact that the mainstream church denies everything basically that I teach, when it's straight out of the Bible, when there's 25 verses that tell me to cast out demons, and then some knucklehead pastor who shouldn't even be there in the first place tells me that his God's bigger than that, and that this stuff all ended at the cross and everything else. Well, it doesn't say that. Again, I want to mention about Matthew 28. Okay, Matthew 28, we get in towards 26, and it tells us that Jesus commanded us to continue those things until his return. And in that, Matthew 28:26, that is after his return to the apostles. So his job is finished on the cross, and he returns and continues and tells them to continue those things. So what part of that do we not understand? Okay? And it's amazing as I talk to people who aren't familiar with deliverance and have been brainwashed by the church and believing different things that have nothing to do with the scriptures, have nothing to do with God's word. And I get it. See, I was there too. But when I found out that there were demons destroying my life, and I crawled into a deliverance ministry in Scottsdale, Arizona, my world changed. My view of what has been taught in the church has changed. Now, there was still some deprogramming over the years that needed to take place, and many of it's been recently. But the point of it is that when God says to do something, when Jesus gives commandments, when his word says to do this, and it's in writing, and if you have a red-letter Bible, that's always a good thing because it tells you the very word spoken out of Jesus Christ by the fact that it's colored in red, and we don't do those things, then you need to look at a church that denies this and say, okay, why are you not obeying the Word of God? Why are you not doing those things that are written right here in front of us? And by the way, why are you doing things that are contrary, that are exact opposite, that are actually those things of the occult? So then you have to then take a step back and say, well, then maybe you're not the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny, when I say that word, people think of the Mormon Church. Isn't that like the devil to try and come in and duplicate something to make a counterfeit? When in Scripture it's quite plain that it is written that way and spoken that way. So I'm not talking about the Mormon Church. And when I was writing my book, I even had to, with the people who were editing, to even battle over that. So when it comes to deliverance, when we see that a woman had, you know, infirmities, that she had an issue of blood, we see that children were throwing themselves into the fire, that people were cutting themselves. People were basically, you know, so tormented that they were crying out night and day. I mean, it was just all kinds of stuff that we see that shows that demons enter into human bodies and act out their ugly nature. If you have a spirit of fear, like when I'm praying and I'll call a spirit up, and it is what it is, a spirit of fear, the person's teeth will sit there and chatter. they'll quiver and they'll shake just like an explosion went off, and they're traumatized for the moment. I mean, it's really bizarre. And you know, it must suck to be a spirit of fear, because who would want to be that all the time? I mean, you got to remember, they don't sleep, they don't rest, they don't eat, they don't take vacations. They are what they are, and so they're a constant spirit of fear. And so obviously Satan, somewhere along the line, had a order of things that then made them what they are. How that takes place, I'm not sure. But since there is such a variety of things, variety of spirits, and like I mentioned, there was a time I finally just gave up trying to document them. Now, there's just so many of them, and the best thing I found was just to categorize them. You know, were they an unclean spirit? Were they a familiar spirit? Were they an infirmity spirit, right? Witchcraft and all these other things. So to categorize it, and I mentioned that in my book, Secondhand Invasion, and I reconfirm that in Hoodoo Voodoo. And if you don't have Hoodoo Voodoo, I really recommend to get it. And I say that because time's running out. You know, you're not going to be able to get it off of Kindle. You have an EMP. Your computer's not going to work. And to have a hard copy in front of you that you can reference to remind you what demons are, to show you the categorizations of demons, and how to spiritually warfare, how to break curses, how to, the words that I use, the method, basically, to cast out demons. Now, I want to remind everyone, there is no real formula, but there are, demons are what they are. They're of a nature, so they have a repeatability. And so over the years, I've just come to recognize that there's just going to be the same thing over and over again, but always allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, because there's always a twist in there somewhere. Just when I think I've seen every kind of demon or every kind of trick, something else comes up. So that's the way that I always approach it. As I open it, I come in with an open mind, in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct and guide when it comes to deliverance. Now, so if I cast out a demon with a woman who has a blood issue, and that was a case this weekend, not with the blood, but things that were in those parts, and so what we find is when the demon leaves, then the pain and the discomfort and those things of sexuality that are inappropriate stop. Okay, so then we could see that as a healing. Somebody was healed because they no longer have pain, right? So casting out demons is extremely important for a healing. Now, you can need a healing. You can have an injury. You can have a surgery that went awry. A lot of surgeries go bad, and people have pain and discomfort, lesions, you know, skin scar tissues, and leave something behind and cut the wrong thing. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So there's two aspects of deliverance, and that is healing and deliverance. So I want to remind everyone that there are, when you're praying for someone, it may be demon specific, but the demon may have also caused damage. So casting the demon out is one thing, so the damage doesn't increase, but you still need to approach it to heal the damage. Okay, I just felt led to tell everyone that. Now, casting out demons should be something we all do. Now, that's not the case. The church, as I mentioned before, denies this. And why do they deny it? Well, obviously, they must be in bed with Satan, because if you do not cast out demons, then you're in bondage. You're in bondage to evil spirits. Well, that sounds like a lose-lose to me. That doesn't sound like what Jesus Christ has for us. That doesn't sound like the victory of God to me. It sounds like a victory of demons, a victory of fallen angels. Satan's army has got one up. Well, so what's wrong with this picture? Well, obviously, those who are in charge of the church are not of Jesus, not the Jesus we know. And I'm going to go through a few things here on that. And I'm freely saying that nowadays. It finally took a few slaps across the face to finally get it. That 99.9% of them out there are not of Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you something different. But I've been doing this a long time. And why can I not, I is what I do with victory, with fruit, with documented proof, with people all over through the years that have had these incredible healings, you know, their minds are right and they're able to move forward, that I cannot go into a church supposedly of God and not do what I do. You know, food for thought here. So we have to look at that. Now, and in the deliverance and the healing brings restoration. Okay? So now you're back to who God intended you to be. You're not the glob of, you know, pain and suffering that Satan turned you into. Okay? Restoration. So you're being restored back to the man and woman of God that God intended you to be. Okay? In that comes strengthening, because many of you have been zapped of your pain, of your strength. You've been zapped of those things that you were once vibrant. You know, you had a great childhood. You know, maybe you had a good teenage years and you're a young adult. And then, you know, you got involved with somebody or you got involved with drugs or whatever it is, and it was all stolen from you. Okay? And you've never been the same since. Okay? And through that, your adrenal glands, you know, your pituitary glands, your thyroid, your liver, all that stuff's been tainted, been stressed, been overtaxed, and you've been drained of energy and strength, and so you're sluggish, and you can't even get out of bed, and all this. Well, that's because of the destruction the demons did, which came in through sin, okay? But to be restored, the restoration bringing strength brings you back to, again, now, because your mind starts to work, okay, and that's the other thing, the witchcraft and the mind control that's over your brain. You can't think. You have weird thoughts. You don't even want to go out in public because your mouth runs off, you know, like Tourette syndrome, and that's a terrible, terrible thing. I can remember the first exposure to Tourette syndrome that I had. It was a young man that came into a store. And he must have been 11, 12. He was just a young boy. And he couldn't help himself. The F word would fly out of his mouth, you know, GD and all the other stuff. And it wasn't him. And people in the store were just like, throw the kid out, you know. But, the thing of it is, we have to have compassion for the child because, one, he's so young that most likely he didn't do the sin that allowed it in. It was probably the parents. And so he was under a curse. And so it's so easy to lift that. It's so easy to break that, especially at such a young age. Many of you out there, if you had been delivered when you were younger, you wouldn't have had all these years of pain and suffering. You wouldn't be on those medications. See? So as far as I'm concerned, the church did you wrong because you've suffered all these years. You even went there asking for help. You cried out. You were rejected, even thrown out. So is that what God had for you? Of course not. That's why he sent his son who willfully came to rectify all of this. Okay? So in your strengthening, then you're able to prepare yourself for the battle. You're then a whole saint. Okay? Now, the Catholic Church will want to separate us and make only those who are selected people, selected men, selected women as saints. But Scripture is quite clear that if we're in Jesus Christ, we are a saint. Okay? So we need to start acting like it. We need to understand who we are. Okay? Now, regardless of what's coming, God promises he's going to pour out his spirit. And I believe the book of Exodus is a very clear message to us that when we listen and obey and cry out to God, then when he hears us, then he will deliver us. Okay, so hold on to that, no matter how tough it gets, because it's going to get tough. But of course, there's others who tell you that we won't have to go through that. Well, they're liars. And I'm going to get into that about Paul and some of the other things. Now, Today, we have some new things that are a little more intense, a little more diversified in pain compliance and causing, because that's what demons do. They cause you to comply to their will, acting out their ugly nature by causing you to do things you didn't want to do, like that poor kid with Tourette syndrome. You know, could you imagine? I mean, how do you function? How would you get a job? You couldn't do phone calls. So today we have mind control, which can be through witchcraft, but it, you know, as I've taught before and in depth about electronic weaponry, those things of psychotronics. Okay, brought in by cell phones and satellite and smart meters and all these other things, and then we're now coming into finding out about chip implants. And I've now scanned, I don't know, 7 or 8 people in my office now. None of them I expected to find anything, and I didn't. But then yet there are others that have, you know, things that are appearing and also give the appearance of demonization when it's not, when it's electronic means. Now, anybody that would do this to another human being is obviously demon-possessed. And so, regardless of it being electronic means, the devil is still in the details. There's still those who are evil that are inflicting this by controlling these devices, these transmitters, transponders, satellites, even smart TVs, for goodness sakes, that's causing this issue. So this is a whole new world. Well, excuse me, how did you think the end times was going to be? Did you just think all of a sudden there was going to be a bomb drop and everybody was going to run everywhere? No, this stuff has been implemented very slowly. Kind of like, I had a cat that I had to put down. And we all have animals that, you know, if we have them long enough. And I wanted to be there. The cat been through with me through you name it, you know, and it was a poor thing. It had a stroke and was blind, and there was no choice. And so I held on to the cat while he ministered whatever that was that took her out. And it was very quick. But there are things that are applied that are very slow. And in that, you can get sleepy, and then you finally go out, but your heart's still going, and you're still breathing, and then things slow down, and things slow down until they stop, okay? Now, that's kind of what's going on here. We've got a slow death, okay, being applied to us. We're being hit with chemicals. We're being hit with radiation, whether it's through that of nuclear and or radio of gamma, X-ray, those things that they get down to the lower spectrum of microwave and down to ELF, and it just it'll drive you crazy. You're sick. You have symptoms that show mental illness. You have symptoms that show that you have bladder problems. When in fact this isn't demons. This is electronics. So we're in a world that if we are not prepared, if we are not strengthened, if we are not restored, if we have not been brought to a saint status in our ability to fight, okay, otherwise you're ready to go, you've polished your armor, you've sharpened the knife, the word of God, the sword, and you're ready to take out some demons. Boy, they're hey, that's fun. You ever been to Chuck E. Cheese's? I used to take my grandkids there. And they had this funny thing that had holes, and some kind of creature would pop up, and you had this big mallet, and you knock it over the head. And then as soon as another one pop up, you go after it. Well, that's kind of like it is going after demons. And it's a lot of fun because they have been torturing and tormenting people, children, elderly, for centuries. And now I get to give them a taste of their own medicine and get rid of them, okay? So it's kind of fun to me. I'm not a witch hunter. I'm not a demon hunter. But, you know, when someone comes in and they've been tormented for a very long time, I get some gratification out of them. Sorry. So there you go. But the point of it is that comes healing, comes joy in the morning, comes restoration. Okay, and now they're back to, they're that new creature in Christ. The old man's gone, and they're new wine and new wineskins. So hallelujah, you know, there we go. But see, churches don't do that. They don't cast out demons. They don't go in with a mallet and hit those little things coming out of the holes. They don't do that. And because they don't do that, those little things in the holes eat you alive. And is that what God had for you? Of course not. Absolutely not. Now, FEMA, Department of Homeland Security, NSA, the CIA, all, you know, FBI, all of these agencies are not your friend. You know, knock at the door, hello, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. Okay, the government is not the government of the people. This is an Illuminati. Okay, this is a tyrant government that is here to put us in bondage, to eliminate us as being saints, because they know who their enemy is. You need to understand that. See, that's why they had to do all this electronic stuff, okay? Because they can't do the spiritual against us if we're battle hardened. Okay, there was a movie that I saw a while back, and it was about the World War II, and it was the tank brigade, the tank drivers. I don't remember the name of it. Some of you might remember. And they came up against the Nazis, and they knew by looking at them that they were already battle-hardened, if you know what that means. So they've already been through fights. See, they're not new recruits. They didn't just come out of boot camp. They've already seen their fellow soldier killed, okay? And maybe they've come close to death. And so they've transformed into a machine. They're now killing machines. They already know that most likely they're going to die, so they've accepted that, and then they've become this incredible machine that does nothing but kill. And so we as saints need to understand and become battle-hardened that we need to be prepared to take out these things. You know, I'm talking about demons. I'm talking about fallen angels. I'm talking about those things that could be of hybrids, those things of reptilians, those things of clones, because they're not people. You need to understand that, because inside them are demons. You know, have you ever seen some of the Wi-Fi movies out, like the last 4th of July, where the alien was actually inside the thing that you saw? You thought you were looking at an alien, but what you were seeing was their spacesuit. You were seeing the mechanism or the machine that was flesh, mechanical flesh. But inside was the real creature. Well, that's what's going on, okay? So don't be fooled by that. Understand what you're dealing with, all right? So all these things that are coming against us are coming at different angles, every angle, up and down, and in every form. Now, I want to comment on what Julie talked about Obama being Satan. Okay? Now, I want to remind everyone that anything's a possibility here, because things are so weird and so crazy. But you need to remember who Obama is and what he's doing. Okay? He is a very evil man. He thinks that children should be killed. He thinks that those in the womb should be eliminated. Even if there's a botched abortion, they should be thrown in the garbage can. Okay, only a true evil individual that would be completely demonized and or possessed by fallen angels could be such a way. So let me point something out to you here that not a lot of people talk about this. Now, we know Judas, who was one of the apostles, betrayed Jesus, right? And most of us are very familiar with at the Last Supper in Exodus or John 13:27, that right after they broke bread, it's told to us that Satan entered into him. Satan entered into him. Okay. Now, when we go back to Luke 22:3, a lot of people think that verse is interchangeable. that it is basically the same thing, and it is not. Because in Luke 22:3, when Satan entered into Judas the first time, he went to betray Jesus. So he went to the Pharisees, okay? He went to go get those things, to put him in place, okay, when Satan entered him. So if Satan had not entered him, Judas wouldn't have done it. 1, 2, 3, ABC, period. Coming back to John 13:27, then Satan entered in him again. So therefore, there is no question that in Luke 22:3, that when Satan entered Judas, you can't enter twice, right? He's not omnipresent. He's a creature, so therefore he can't be in two places at one time. So obviously he left Judas. So Judas went and did his thing, did what he wanted, what Satan wanted him to do. Satan left him, and who knows what he did after that. I'm sure that the books that the Vatican keeps from us, since there's supposed to be more canons, books, epistles, okay, that there was probably some other things that he did. And then we come around to John 13:27, then Satan re-entered Judas again, and then he went and finalized the betrayal. So if Satan was in Judas, then Satan kissed Jesus. Ooh. I bet you never thought about that. Ooh, I just got the creeps on that. Ooh, the spirit realm did not like that. Betrayed by a kiss. Well, you know what, Obama? I believe that you are Judas. I believe that you are deception. I believe that, yes, that Julie has a point. That very well, by running the numbers and looking at these scriptures, that it is possible that Satan is in you. And no good is found in you at all. That you are God's enemy. And we are saints. We are children bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. And Mr. Obama, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. And Hildebeest, Hillary, we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a salvation for everyone who believes. So I want to tell you what. I don't care who's in office. That since Satan can leave, then whoever is elected next, that's who Satan is going to go into. And there's information that shows that possibly Trump will be taken out. And this whole thing was a setup to put in Hildebeest, Hillary Rodham Clinton, the destroyer of man, the Jezebel of all times. I believe that see, there's a phenomenon that I've coined as timeshare. And what it means is that sometimes when people come to me for a deliverance, demons will leave intentionally so they don't get cast out. Hmm, really? Yeah. Well, that's true. And so if I'm given the word through the Holy Spirit that that has taken place, I will call the angels out to go get those rascals at sword's point to face the judgment of what I'm going to pass. Now, someone will say, Scott, you can't pass judgment. Really? Well, then if Christ did what he did and was given all power and all authority, and greater is he that's in me, who Christ is in me, of course, than he is in the world, then why can I not do that? Well, it's funny. I've been doing it for 16 years. I've been beating the tar out of demons. They cry like little girls when they really face the big boy, okay, Jesus. Because when I pray, I unleash the Holy Spirit. I come at them like a banshee. I take no prisoner. Now, I'm usually fairly nice and pleasant on the radio and everything else. But, you know, there was a couple people here in the office now that look at me with saucer eyes because of the deliverance I did on Saturday. Okay? I guess I was a little loud. But you know what? When a woman's being injured and hurt by a demon, and there's a thing called chivalry, gentlemen, and so I had no choice. All right, I'm going to go in there. If I have to go in and beat the tar out of them myself, I'm going to do that. All right. Now, when you are given the authority and you are commanded and you reject it, you are literally turning your back on Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, that's not a good thing to do. For one, you know, one of the shortest things in Scripture is Jesus wept. Do you think that Jesus is not hurt by that? Grieving the Holy Spirit? I mean, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing to do to our Lord. So the churches, I bet Jesus just cries. Because there's so many people in the churches, so many wounded people that are crying out, that are under the nose of this moron in front of the church, that are dying, that will die, that will commit suicide. They have mental disorders. They have, they're just being tormented. They're sick. You know, and we've been commanded to do those things until his return, and we don't do them. I mean, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. Now, when we don't do this, and the church doesn't do this, then I have to assume that they're preaching a different Jesus. Now, that's reminded to us in 2 Corinthians 11:4. To be aware of such things, that there will be those who will preach a different Jesus. And we're also told in Galatians 1:8 to be aware of any angel that comes down from heaven. Okay, now you remember the heaven's a spirit realm. Okay, that would be preaching a different gospel. Well, excuse me, when I read the epistles, when I read the gospel, when I read the canons, when I read the New Testament, it's quite clear that Jesus tells us to cast out demons and set the captives free. So therefore, the mainstream church is obviously preaching a different Jesus. I'm sorry. I have to call it as it is. And if I'm someone who takes the responsibility of being a watchman in the last days, then I am going to speak. And there's been a fair effort over the past couple of months to shut me up. My local people here. Well, you know what? Didn't work. Because those people that once withdrew, that needed deliverance, guess what? They're coming back one at a time, and I'm knocking their demons down. And for the first time, they have a twinkle in their eye. You know what? Some of you are actually very pretty, beautiful people. And you're in such torment that you have a scowl on your face, and no one wants to look at you because you're not so cute right now. That happens. It's a terrible thing. You have a natural beauty that was given to you, and because of the toxic shame and the guilt, you're not who God intends you to be. And so the mate that God had for you, that one, passes you up. Did you ever think about that? And I've told you before that, you know what, if you're 30 and 40, that maybe the one God had for you was aborted. Was murdered. Do you ever think about that? And it's an act of God that you're even alive if you're in that age group. Because that was like the thing to do, and it still is. How terrible. All right. Now, I'm bringing this up because I'm going to bring a point here. And when we see that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for teaching and reproofing, correction and training, instruction of righteousness, as mentioned to us in 2 Timothy 3:16, that when we teach that the particular epistles, the books, that some of them are for these people and some of them are for those people and for the Jews or only for the Gentiles right here, that's a lie. Because I just read it right here in 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, Apostle Paul, okay, is considered a vessel of Jesus Christ. Okay, he's referred to that, all right? And in his epistles, he writes to the Gentiles. He writes to the kings. He writes to the children of Israel, okay? It's very important for you to understand that Paul's writings, that we as Christians are who he's writing these things to. He's writing them to the different churches, okay, that just happen to be in different areas. Look at Revelation, where Jesus is talking to the angels, okay? And we see in Revelation 2:20 that he's scolding the angel. Hey, this is what I got against you. You have allowed that woman Jezebel to seduce my saints, okay? All right, so if you start splitting scripture up and you start saying that it's one way or another, then you're preaching a different Jesus. You're preaching a different gospel. 2 Corinthians 11:4, Galatians 1:8. Because we're reminded here in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given for inspiration of God. Okay? I'm making a case here. Now, who teaches such things? Okay. Now, I've taught about the doctrine of dispensation. Okay. The Zionists forced that down our throats. They started that implementing that around the 1940s. It kind of fell away a little bit, but it got speed again around the 1960s. And then the Calvary churches, the Baptist churches, and all of them just grabbed a hold of this. And by the way, the Baptist churches did come out of the Masonic lodges. You need to understand that. And anyone in the Masonic lodge, their god is Baphomet. Okay? And they may say Jesus, but remember, it's a different Jesus. Okay? So that means that those that teach such things as dispensation, that most likely they're going to be the ones teaching pre-trib, okay? In nowhere in the Bible will you find one sentence that tells us we're getting the heck out of here. In fact, you will find that we're told to hang in there, and that's one of the things Paul does, okay? He's preparing us spiritually for the fight. Now, if those who teach the pre-trib and the dispensation, you will find are the ones who were telling you that Paul's epistles were not written to Christians, were not written to the Gentiles. And I just showed you that that's a lie. So what's going on here? Why would anyone do such a thing? Okay. Now, I want to thank Rip. I spent some time with Rip this weekend. We did some deliverance and we hung out and fellowshipped, and I haven't done that for a while, so it was a good thing. And he brought it to my attention in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 16, and I want you to write this down. Okay? Now, Peter was also referred to as a brother of the Lord. Okay? All right? So in his writings, he's telling the apostles to make sure that they listen to Paul and absorb his epistles, to obey them, to listen to them, to act on them. Okay? 2 Peter 3:15-16. In fact, you might want to read the whole thing of chapter 3, because it's extremely powerful for the last days. So again, another torpedo was just launched and sunk the dispensation submarine. Okay, all right. The oil's just come to the surface, and we sunk it. It's done. I don't want to hear it anymore. All right. So some of these locals here, it looks like I'm going to have to get into a fight because they're deceiving many. They're teaching people here in the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which is full of lesbians and full of witches and full of Jezebels, What did I say once? I can't swing a dead demon around my head without hitting a Jezebel. Well, that's about it. Because this place is become, it always has been, Athol and Rathrum and Spokane Valley and all this area here is a witch's haven. It's unbelievable. And the Masonics. And every sticker, everything that I see on a car, and whether it's in the window or on the bumper, now has something to do with the Illuminati, has something to do with reptilians. So we also see this as a vortis, okay, which means that it's a spiritual, like a portal, right? And so they're just coming here in droves. And so those who are trying to follow the real Jesus, the ones who are trying to be who God intended them to be, are being led astray. And so when you teach pre-trib, what you're teaching is you don't need to fight. What you're teaching is that you don't have to, you don't have demons. Teaching you don't have to worry about curses. You're teaching heresies. You're teaching a lie. And so that means the saints stand down. Who stands in the way of Satan? The saints. Who stands in the way of the Illuminati completing what they want to do? God's people. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Okay, to know Jesus is to know the Father. So if you believe unto him, then you have the seal of God on your forehead and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So therefore, you are an enemy of all these people. And they've got a target on your back. They want to make you, they want to lead you down a path of destruction. Now, in that, we need to understand this is a time that there are false teachers and false prophets. We're reminded of that in Matthew 7:15 and Romans 16:17 through 27. Okay? So they've woven in amongst us. They are here. Now, Jesus says, who is my brother? Right? Okay? So when we sit in the pew at the church, and you look to your left, and you look to your right, who is that? Is it a witch? Or is it someone suffering because they've been denied deliverance? Are they a lost soul that has come in for the first time, and now here's the garbage coming out of a capstone, hence the so-called preacher, and they then are cursed because they don't get the full gospel? See, since God is a God of order and he's not a God of disorder, then if you only teach partial truth, then what you're teaching is a lie. Now, we can make a mistake. We can misquote. We can, misunderstand something. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and guides us back in, brings someone to us to remind us about this or that. And then we correct ourselves. We repent, and we come to the knowledge that what we're supposed to. But those who willfully stand in front of a congregation, those who willfully lead those down a wrong path, those who cause their brother to stumble, those who deny the power of the Holy Spirit are your enemy. And I'm sorry. I'm too old now. We're too late in these times. All hell is about to break loose on us. And here we are, sick, weak, and asleep. That's who's among us. And many of you, in fact, the deliverances lately have been very powerful, very good, but I'm only one person. And Julie's only one person. And so we're small compared to what the churches are, and we can only do so many people. So my goal has been all along to give that understanding that you need to get to your prayer closet, you need to confess, you need to renounce, you need to repent, you need to ask for forgiveness. Because some of these other morons that teach this predestination stuff will tell you don't need to do that. Well, okay, Jesus did pay the price for all past, present, and future sins. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm telling you right now that until you repent, when you come into my office, that big, stinking, hairy demon ain't going anywhere. He's going to laugh at you. He's going to laugh at me. Well, you know what? I haven't got time for that. And if you want to go home with your demons, you know, go have a drink, go have a snort of coke, you know, go fornicate, go get yourself a whore, whatever you want to do, because the demons in you are going to have you do that, then go ahead. Because behind you are 1,000 people who are willing to get on their face and cry out to the Most High God. And so I shake the dust off of my feet and I move on. Look, God wishes that none should perish. He wants us all come to that understanding. He loves us. He created us. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to be in pain and agony and suffering. That's why he gave us the laws of Moses, the laws of the prophet, the Ten Commandments. Because Jesus had not been born and died yet. He hadn't paid the ultimate price of the fall of the garden. So these things had to be put in place in order to keep you out of sin. See, demons can only come into you and harass you through sin. So you say, well, I've never really sinned. Why am I in such bad shape? Because you're under a curse. Your father did. These sins are visited on the third and fourth generation. Those who were born out of wedlock in Deuteronomy 23 under the curse of the bastard. Oh, Scott, did you say bastard? Well, excuse me, the Bible says it. That's a curse, Deuteronomy 23. Your ancestors fornicated, you got knocked up, and, you know, your ancestor got knocked up, and now you're under that curse because it goes to the 10th generation. Now, what I found when you're under a curse, there's an iniquitous pull that pulls you into whatever, whether it's an addiction, like pornography, alcoholism, drugs, all kinds of things, gambling. And in that iniquity, you then re-sin. Okay, you know, I remember going to the, the San Bernardino Orange County Fair, way, way back. And they had a section where they had these old tractors. And some of them were the old steam-driven tractors. I mean, just really cool works of ingenuity in the old days. And some of them were in an inertia engine. I don't know if you know what that is. And what it means is that it has a big flywheel. And if you got something that's really big and heavy and it rotates, it has enough weight behind it that it can give it, you know, it can move something for a period of time because it has that dynamic behind it. And so in order to conserve fuel or conserve steam, then the piston that would fire to turn the flywheel only happened when the wheel went below a certain RPM. So it would sit there and spin and spin and spin, and then it'd go boom, and it would fire again and give it that other nudge to make it go fast again. So it could go, you know, maybe 10, 20 times, and then boom, it would fire again. All right? Well, that's what we got to do, man. We got to be that inertia engine. We got to go boom. You know, let's come in with dynamo, okay? The dunamis, dynamite. That's where all those terms came from. The Holy Spirit, the power. Okay, we can't allow ourselves to be beaten up. We can't allow ourselves to be put into a position that we then fail. Because if we fail, then your loved ones who were placed under the same curse you were, meaning your daughter, your sons, your grandkids, you got great grandchildren, okay? I'm of age now. I've got grandkids that literally could be giving me great grandchildren now. And you know what? When I went through deliverance, I spent a great deal of time making sure that any curse that was on me was broken. And I would say, I break the curse of adultery. I break the curse of addiction. I break the curse of divorce off of myself, my bloodline, and all future generations. Okay? So it's important to warfare. Now, what I've been getting at here is that there's a great move to remove Paul. So everything I just talked about for warring and fighting and what we need to do, that without Paul's epistles, without his teachings, that our understanding of the spirit realm, because remember, he was a vessel of Jesus Christ. He was pulled aside of the others, okay? He was given more information of the spirit realm than the other apostles. They had their place, they had their duty, they had their job. Paul was somebody different. You got to remember who he was. He was a rascal. Okay, he got knocked on his keister, got blind, got restored, and then came to the understanding, and then became a vessel, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and became an inspiration to the other apostles too, by the way. And again, that's what we read in the 2 Timothy 3:15 through 16. That we're reminded to listen to him as Christians. And so by those who teach to remove Paul, what is their objective? Their objective is to keep you from being the men and women of God that God called you to be. Because without the understanding of the spirit realm, you can't have that mallet in your hand and hit those little things that come out of the holes. Do you understand that? By understanding the spirit realm and by having this Holy Spirit in us, by being delivered, by being ready for the fight, that you're going to get run over. You know, years and years ago, I saw that this happened on the campus of Arizona State University. Would have been in the 80s. Yeah, in the 80s, in Tempe, Arizona. And I was on my way to a job interview. I'd been laid off. And it was a bad time, and I was on Apache Boulevard turning on to Mill Avenue heading north. Some of you may know where that's at. That's right up the center of Tempe. And we were all stopped at this intersection for the students of the campus to cross over Mill Avenue. And there was a professor who was in a little bit of a hurry, and he was running across with his briefcase. And we were all stopped, but the shoulder lane heading south was open. And all these cars were stopped, and you couldn't tell that there was a low-profile car coming. And here it turns out it was a guy high on pot. And he flew through there, and he hit that professor. And I just happened to look over and saw it from beginning to end. And I assure you, it was one of the most violent things I'd ever seen in my life. And that man was spinning through the air, and then as the car, the guy was hitting the brakes, as he came down, he actually hit the guy a second time, because he was flying in the air, and then he came back down on the hood, and when he was stopping, you know how the back end comes up because you hit the brakes? When he hit him the second time, it catapulted him across the street. And the guy that was driving, I was a passenger, the guy that was driving turned over and goes, "What's that?" Because the guy was spinning through the air and he was turning so fast, you couldn't even tell that it was a human being. That happened so quick. We need to remember, we never know when our days are over with. Now, I understand the guy survived and I was brought in to testify because of what I saw. But the point of it is that he was unprepared. He was unprepared for this car that was coming. He didn't see it. He didn't know. Okay, that's what's happening to you people right now. You're stepping out, you're in a crosswalk, you think you're in safety, and you're going to get hit. Okay, now that poor man had no idea there was a car there. But you know what? We know there's a devil out there. We know there's a crosswalk that's covered in the blood of Jesus. We know that we can get from point A to point B in safety. But when you've got somebody who's driving a car, somebody who's reckless, someone who doesn't care, who's lawless, because that's what the act was. And when you see, you know, someone stopping at a crosswalk and you know that it's for pedestrians, this is the way that I see the church. They're the ones in that sporty car. They're barreling down the gutter lane, the curb lane, and they're high, and they're going to hit you. And many of you have already fallen. Many of you have already been taken by ambulance. Many of you have been institutionalized. And the church stood there and let it happen. How's that a church of God? I'm sorry. I wish I could say something different, but I need you to get ready. All right? There's only one way out. There's only one way out of this. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing. So all these other doctrines, all these other things that we've been hearing are not of Jesus. Because when I read the scripture, I read something different. All right? Remember, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, the great commission of Jesus Christ. Heal the sick, set the captives free, restore sight to the blind, have the lame walk, bind up the brokenhearted, make disciples of all men, breaking those curses, casting the demons out. Wow, what a win-win situation. I mean, I don't know how any other way to put it. So please, please just understand that that it's going to get really bad. You know, for some of you, it's already bad. Some of you are, who haven't really been hit yet are just thinking, no. No, these cell towers and this electronic stuff and everything out, you're going to need a covering. All right? That crosswalk's got to be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way out of this. I don't know how else to tell you. All right. I'm done for tonight. God bless everyone for listening. And remember, Paul is absolutely instrumental in teaching us. So do not reject his writings. There's a big move to do that. And those who do it, I'm telling you, are preaching a different Jesus, are preaching a different gospel. Because if Jesus says that he is a vessel of Jesus Christ and God pulled him aside to train him up for the spirit realm, it was for a reason. And his epistles, that all of them are for the reproof and the teaching and the understanding for all of us, then therefore listen to him as it was reminded to us in 2 Peter 3. All right, God bless everyone. Good night.